This is the voice of contract management presented by the law firm of Kroll & Mooring, exclusively for NCMA. Stay up to date on all things contract management 5 minutes at a time. Our team at Kroll & Mooring presents these podcasts to keep you up to speed on a bi-monthly basis. We will cover everything from regulatory updates to crucial changes that affect government contracting.
We are your co-hosts for this edition, Peter Ayer and Sky Matheson. We're tracking a wide variety of activities relating to the administration, including executive orders, agency directives, and how contractors are adjusting to shifting requirements and expectations. But today we're focusing on a very specific topic. As you know, the federal government entered a shutdown at midnight on October 1st. This was because Congress did not pass crucial funding bills for the start of fiscal year 2026. That shutdown lasted 43 days, and then on November 12th, Congress passed and the president signed continuing resolutions that fund the government through January 30th of 2026. So as you know, the government is now reopened. Now that it is reopened, contractors and federal funding recipients have lots of questions, and our goal for today is to address some of those common topics. I'm joined today by my partner, Sky Matheson, who is going to unpack these topics. And although each situation is highly fact-dependent, Sky is going to provide some general observations and thoughts. So, Sky, thank you so much for joining us. Let's start here. During the shutdown, a lot of contractors continued performing and invoicing, but the government wasn't able to pay timely. A frequent question that we're receiving is, does the government owe interest on late payments? So let's start there. Sky, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Peter. At a big picture, the interest is almost always going to be owed to the contractor as long as you submitted proper invoices. So regardless of the government's reason for being late, whether it's a shutdown or they're just late otherwise, they're going to owe interest almost always. Just as a background, the Prompt Payment Act is a statutory requirement. It's implemented by regulations. That means that the contracting officer and the agencies, they have to follow those statutory mandates. They can't contract around them generally. And so whatever the statute says is going to be owed is what the government's going to owe. That really affects us here with the shutdown, because under the Prompt Payment Act, interest is going to accrue, is going to be owed beginning on the 31st day after the contractor's submission of a proper invoice or government acceptance. And those are the triggering events. And so even though the government typically receives the invoice and validates it and then makes payment decisions or questions it, all of that can't always occur during a shutdown. But those aren't the triggering events for when interest is owed. You know, interest is going to run on a proper invoice. Proper invoice is one that meets all the facial requirements of looking right, and the government doesn't have a bona fide dispute with over the quantity or the quality or compliance in some other ways. Acceptance is, you know, you delivered the supplies and either the government actually accepted it, or for interest purposes, 7 days have gone by and they've constructively accepted it. So with that background, interest is almost going to always be owed. It's just if the government shut down and during the shutdown, they weren't able to pay the interest. Now that they're back up and running, they should be able to pay the interest from all of the days after the 31st day. So about 2 weeks of interest.
On the interest piece, is there anything that contractors should be doing to make sure that the government realizes that? Are there steps they should take, or is that something that happens automatically given the clauses?
Yeah, great question. It should be automatic. The statute and regulations make it an automatic function. And in fact, in the larger agencies that are handling this, you know, Defense Department, for example, there's an entire set of regulations, an entire different agency, DFAS, that handles the payment of interest automatically. So generally, your contracting officer doesn't need to be in the loop and approving interest payments. Now, in civilian agencies, there might be more of a connection. And if the government doesn't pay, if DFAS or the government civilian agency doesn't pay, then certainly there's going to be a follow-up of, you know, we're entitled to that interest and it should be paid. And you can, you know, have a series of dispute escalation, hopefully get it resolved, hopefully get it paid. The contracting officer can pay it. And if not, you can submit a claim for the 2 weeks of interest that would be owed.
Guy, in addition to the Prompt Pay Act interest, in what circumstances are contractors entitled to recover cost and or schedule impacts from shutdown related delays?
Yeah, that is going to be really dependent on the type of contract and what you're performing and how involved the government or the government facilities were in your performance. So as a general rule, a shutdown is generally always going to be an excusable delay. An excusable delay is similar to pandemics and bad weather. You know, it's a government-wide issue. So you're going to be entitled to additional time if you actually suffered a delay. Now, whether you suffered a delay or not, based on the government shutdown, is going to be, again, fact-dependent based on the type of your contract. And as a second point, in addition to being excusable delay, a shutdown might lead to a compensable event where you're entitled to costs, maybe profit, in addition to the schedule relief. But whether you are kind of depends on the type of contract again, the place of performance, how you're performing, and any communications that you and the government shared beforehand. So really, it's not a one-size-fits-all answer. It primarily depends on what type of contract you have. So for an example, if you got a firm fixed price contract to manufacture supplies at your own facility or R&D contract performing at your own facility, then the government shutdown might not affect you at all. Perhaps something about the government shutdown causes a day or so, a couple days of excusable delay, but there might not be any delay if you're just performing in parallel separately from what the government is. You don't have any delivery requirements. Now, compare that to whether you had to actually deliver during that period. So during the 43-day shutdown, if you were supposed to deliver something to the government, whether it's an R&D report or a manufactured item, the government's supposed to inspect it and accept it and mark it as approved and then pay you. Well, now you have the need for the government's delay, the shutdown delay, giving you that schedule relief. So the contract dates are going to be adjusted so that it's clear that you were not late. You might be entitled possibly to some cost impacts from that. We'd have to probably have legal assessment to see what the arguments would be. The much better case, you know, so now moving away from manufacturing supplies in parallel or R&D work, now moving towards, you know, something that would be much more clearly a compensable event, which is perhaps you're performing services at a government facility or you have a construction at a government facility. So the government is intimately involved with letting you onto the base to have access, allowing you onto this facility to have access. They're involved with the day-to-day approvals and authorizations, approving you to go forward, approving, you know, what you're doing, giving you directions. So now the government's delay is going to directly affect you. Clearly, it's going to be an excusable delay for the entire period. And you have a much better argument and scenario that is probably, possibly going to be a compensable event. That's going to depend a little bit on, again, the type of contract, what happens, what you communicate. So when is it compensable? Cost type contracts, for example, are generally always going to be compensable even during excusable delay. But for non-cost type contracts, like the ones we discussed before, you're doing services or construction to government facility, you can still recover, but in part it depends on what you communicated beforehand, you know, or what the parties communicated. If the government gave you a stop work order, you're going to be entitled to your cost, schedule, and profit. And if you communicated to the government that you're considering it a stop work, you might be entitled to it. There might be many other changes. Maybe the government told you to continue performing, but change the place of performance, the location of performance, or the manner and methods of performance. That might be a change. So there's a lot of scenarios, and you might be able to recover. Legal should probably assess that.
Sky, shifting a little bit, one of the common questions we're getting relates to stop work orders, whether it's formal or constructive. Now that the shutdown is over, what procedural steps should the contractor take to recover if there has been that formal or constructive stop work?
Yeah, absolutely. If there's a formal or constructive stop work, then within 30 days of when the stop work ends, so, you know, within 30 days at the end of the shutdown, in our example here, you're supposed to notify the government of your entitlement to recover costs and schedule impacts for the stop work period. Doesn't need to be a full-blown REA or claim, but you do need to put the government on notice that you're entitled to your costs and schedule impacts. You know, we have many template emails that we help clients with. Send those to the contracting officer, reserving your rights and notifying them that something is going to come later that's going to lay it out more fully. Now, while you have more time to prepare an REA and submit it more fully, schedule relief is going to be really important. So there's really not a lot of benefits of waiting. You want to get this, you know, buttoned up as quickly as possible. Get your stop work submission to the government. Say what you're entitled to, whether it's the days and the costs, or if you're just seeking the days, and try to get that government negotiation and the contract modified so that everyone can continue performance and kind of true up to what the post-shutdown period is going to look like.
In the case of that stop work, in addition to the types of recoveries you've talked about, are there any kind of outside the box types of costs that contractors should be thinking about on the recovery side?
Yeah, absolutely. So the contract talks about some things you're entitled to, the direct costs and applicable markups. The case law creates a lot of other categories. Whether they apply or don't apply to the situation, it's going to depend on the specific facts. And again, that's why legal assessment is important. So, for example, you can get unabsorbed overhead during the period of the stop work. You might be entitled to severance costs, depending on how your severance policies are structured. You might be entitled to loss of labor efficiency or disruption-related costs. So there's a number of different costs out there. There are also requirements to mitigate during a stop work. So just be aware that the government might have some defenses too, but there's a lot of things to look for, and the recovery might be much more broad than just the direct labor costs of some of the folks that had to keep working.
Interesting. So one other question that we're getting a fair bit relates to contractors that were performing at risk during the shutdown. If a company was performing at risk, what are your thoughts in terms of how companies should be approaching that situation now that the government is reopened?
Yeah, there's always ways to approach it, but it really depends on kind of defining our terms, because we do hear a lot, you know, we're performing at risk. And the real key question is how at risk, right? So if you already have a contract, then that's different than being at risk of performing without a contract. If you already have a contract, though, and you are bumping up against your limitation of fund ceiling and you continue to perform, then that's a different performing at risk problem than maybe you just have an implied you probably should have stopped because of, for example, access or government authorization was slowed or impeded because of the shutdown. You know, in some situations, you can keep performing. You don't have government express authorization to continue. That's not necessarily required. You know, many contracts that we've talked about, there's nothing about a stop work and a government shutdown that necessarily requires you to stop in all situations. So it depends, right? How were you performing at risk? Were you really performing at risk? And if you were, how best to protect your rights? There's a lot of situations where if you're performing, just because your contracting partner is shut down, as long as you can keep performing and there's no government direction to stop and there's no government need to letting you on a base that you can't get access to, then continue to perform wouldn't be a problem. And that's not at risk, and the government's going to owe you for all of the work you performed. They just weren't able to pay you during the period of the government shutdown.
Got it. Now, let's shift for a minute to lessons learned and best practices going forward. What are some things that contractors can think about to do better next time, better protect themselves in the event of a future shutdown? What is top of mind from your standpoint, Sky, after the last 43 days and your experience with these kind of issues?
Yeah, this dovetails a lot, you know, with what we advised during the COVID pandemics as well. The key question before you hit the shutdown next time is to ask, you know, what do we want? Do you want to keep performing or do you want to be stopped? And once you figure out what you want, then you can adjust the legal strategy around that. Because just like our ounce of prevention conferences, there's an ounce of prevention you can take up front before the shutdown that can lay the infrastructure to recover what you want to recover based on what you want as the outcome. Again, each contract type of performance is going to lead maybe to a different answer for different contractors. So if you want to keep performing, you want to continue performing, you're not performing at risk in some sense of a funding limitation, you just want to continue performing, then that's fine. There's not much required. You can continue doing your R&D on your own facility. You can continue doing your production at your own facility. The only risk there is that the government is, you know, not going to be able to pay you until the shutdown is over. So not a lot of things to do, just keep performing. There's nothing really to coordinate with the government. However, if you want to be stopped, and perhaps that's because you're performing at a facility, it's impractical to perform somewhere else, and you want to make the record clear that you're entering a stop work. This is not just an excusable delay. This is entering a stop work period where you should be able to perform, you know, but for the government's, you know, blocking access, then you want to communicate that to the government beforehand. You know, and this is achieving the goal of wanting to be stopped and wanting to try to recover your costs, or at least to best position yourself to recover those costs. You want to send the notification to the contracting officer saying that you consider it to be a stop work and you're going to be shutting down. Typically, if the government doesn't respond, and that's pretty good evidence afterwards that this was a constructive stop work. They didn't direct you to keep performing. They couldn't have directed you to keep performing. If they say it's just an excusable delay, then you've got a little bit of a dispute. You've got some arguments. They've got some arguments, and you can kind of talk and go forward, and legal can help assess that. And at the worst, you know, you have an excusable delay and you're accomplishing some of that. But you want to set that record beforehand to best position yourself to accomplish what it is that you want to do during this period of government shutdown. Some contractors want to keep performing. Some don't want to float without the continued performance without getting paid. And so they want to be shut down. It just depends.
That's great thoughts, great advice. Last question for you. Now that the shutdown is over, are there any other steps that contractors should be taking to protect themselves at this juncture?
Yeah, you know, big picture, communication with the contracting officer is key at this stage. But before that, the predicate step is to ascertain what it is that you want to recover. We've gone over, is it excusable delays? Is it raising the funding limitation ceiling? Is it just being reimbursed? Figure out what it is you want to accomplish, and then figure out how to calibrate your post-shutdown communications to the contracting officer to best achieve that. a little precision is usually required since this is a very delicate legal conversation to have. You know, you want to make sure, first of all, that it is the contracting officer you're communicating with. Talking to the specialists of the Corps and getting agreement on getting paid is not going to be sufficient. Reserving your rights is not adversarial. Figuring out what it is you're entitled to and asking for that is not adversarial. It's what the contract requires you to do. The best step is to try and negotiate that. You can incrementally escalate that to get relief if you want to, but whether or not that's required depends. But really, the key is trying to figure out what it is that you want to get and whether the juice is worth the squeeze to kind of negotiate and escalate that through that recovery. Hopefully, the government just pays, because again, once the government gets funds, a lot of the problems go away. And one last interesting note here is if there was an incremental funding ceiling issue, you know, you're performing at risk, you kind of reached the funding problems, the government didn't have more money to add, you were performing at risk. The limitation of funds clause expressly says that a government gets money after the shutdown, adds money to your contract, then by operation of law, it is deemed as if the government has approved you working at risk. So just to loop back to that question you asked, Peter, it's a helpful point that once they add funding, it's as if they've waved their wand and blessed the performance during the shutdown.
That is a great place to end. Lots of really helpful tips and guidance. And we appreciate you spending the time with us today, Sky. Very, very helpful. So with that, we will close this out. This has been the Fastest 5 Minutes, brought to you by Kroll and Mooring. We'll see you again in 2 weeks. If you have any questions, I can be reached at 202-624-2807. And Sky can be reached at 202-624-2606. Thank you for joining us.
That's all for today. Thanks for listening to the Voice of Contract Management, brought to you by Kroll and Mooring exclusively for NCMA. Stay tuned for our next episode as we continue to discuss all things government contracting. In the meantime, explore your learning opportunities at www.ncmahq.org